next item is Bay City Manufactured Home Community Corrective Survey on Route 23.
At the June 17th meeting, this item was deferred. Mr. Lank provided each of you with correspondence and references to this matter with the drawings, new surveys. Deferred it for review and further consideration and to allow Mr. Burton to participate.
We wouldn't want him to miss the fun.
Just for the benefit of the record, I did receive yesterday a copy of the facts from Steve and Pat Wall and put some comments. I'd pass down those copies.
Okay.
There's actually two cover sheets.
Gentlemen, given the...
Want to take the time just to read it?
Given the gravity of the situation, we're not going to recess, but we are going to take a few minutes to allow everybody to read this most recent communication.
The second letter in your packet is a letter that was submitted to you at the June packet of information that staff provided, everything that we've received in recent times, it seems like. If I can, Mr. Chairman, just real quick, brief history of this.
Please, yeah.
There was a, and it's basically, again, the same information I gave to you on the June 17th meeting.
Which was part of the reason why we deferred, so we have an opportunity to review that. Yep.
It was a moratorium established by administration in March 6th of 08. There were meetings with County Attorney, Mr. Assistant County Attorney, Mr. Burrell, in reference to the surveys with the administrator in April 4th of 08, with no action taken by the administrator. On October 16th of 08, we presented a written report, plus or minus 4 pages, in reference to the review of the sheets 1 through 5 of a plan received on August 14th. And that plan showed red lines and notes where I found concerns that needed to be addressed. On November 12th of 08, the commission granted conceptual approval of the August 14th, 08 resurvey, as it's titled, with a stipulation that all lot corners be monumented and numbered, and that the final survey verify the monumentation be provided for the commission review and approval. On March 11th of 09, after review of revised plans, revised resurveys, I wrote a letter to Coast Survey and Bay City Limited Partnership in reference to the review and the resurvey with the monumentation and questioning certain changes, alterations, and a few missing monuments. The resurvey with the monumentation was proposed to be submitted to the commission on March 18th, and due to those concerns, we basically would reschedule rather than present it to the commission on the 18th. On March 30th, I received revised plots or resurveys and a response and explanation from Coast Survey to my March 11th, 09 letter. And on April 8th of 09, I removed the resurvey from the agenda for April 22nd. And advised Coast Survey and Bay City Limited Partnership that the tenants needed an opportunity to review the revisions so they would know what was being considered. On May 16th of 09, I did meet with the tenants at Long Neck Methodist Church, and it was a very short meeting. Most of them kind of got up and left when I walked in. So I don't need to get any detail on that one. And on June 17th, last month, I submitted a packet of correspondence to the commission, which included drainage correspondence from David Baker, myself, and Jim Griffin, county attorney. March 11th of 09, March 30th of 09, April 8th of 09 letters previously referenced a copy of the minutes of November 12th of 08, copies of letters and attachments from Dan Wynn, dated May 29th of 09, June 11th of 09, and June 15th of 09. Copy of a letter with attachments from Steve and Pat Weil, dated June 15th of 09. Letter from Shirley Detwiler, Norman Nash, and Bobby Hemrick. Mrs. Detwiler and Mrs. Nash were residents within Bay City. There was a consensus at that time that the commission, that Mr. Burton should be participating in the discussion and review of the project, that the commission should take time to study and review the information provided, and the deferred action. On July 13th, I did see a copy of an email from Frank Piorca of Denrick referencing the filling and grading of lots within Bay City. And Denrick is proposing a letter to the developer in reference to the department's authority on what can and cannot be filled. I would note also that in review of the amended plan with the monumentation, that lots one through four, which are, well, they were the only lots one through four in the older section, that the commission denied a proposed expansion of those four lots due to inadequate information, conflicts with existing plots, and need for wetlands delineations. And that would have been on October 17th of 07. That backs up even further. In review of the plot plans, as latest revised, I made reference to co-survey responding. All the questions were fairly well satisfied as far as the information they provided. There were questions raised about monuments being placed in asphalt, bulkheads, etc. There was a couple of monuments that were missing. They corrected those issues. They pretty well explained why they did what they did. They were trying to bring lots into compliance as best they could as far as the improvements and as far as setback requirements. And that's probably pretty much up to date, I guess.
I have a question for you, Mr. Link.
Sir.
Or counsel, somebody.
When these parcels are leased, is that right? They're not transferred in fee simple.
That's right. It's a property that's in laid off in lots that are leased to the tenants.
Okay. And in these leases, is there a description of the lot?
I can't say. I haven't seen any of the leases recently, and I've only seen a few leases over the years.
Or are they simply identified by lot number?
Can't say.
We just don't know.
I know that the one of the owners and the surveyor is present, if you would have a question for them.
I think typically it can vary. I mean, but most times I've seen it in a lease, it's lot number, 10, within such and such of a park. But it varies from park to park and, how well detailed the original plots are and that type of thing.
And the older they are, the least information they provide.
Right.
I took the one of the most recent surveys and tried to overlay the improvements on some of the lots so I could start calculating the square footage calculations, et cetera. There are several lots in what I've drawn so far that would exceed the 35% lot coverage, but that's an issue that would have to be addressed. Either they're considered grandfathered by the administration or they would be require variances to the board. You can see it's really obvious in a couple places where the surveyor is trying to meet the setback requirements, so they adjusted a line which would appear to be a straight line on the old survey, and it would also, you can see that rather than have a straight line, it meanders a foot or so, kind of a little jagged line, but you can't really, it's not obvious other than reading the bearings. It's less than 2 degrees total between one end and the other, and they were just trying to adjust it so that the buildings that existed were be made with corrected setbacks. Let me see if I have anything else. Oh, I did. There's been a lot of references made to what survey did what for the benefit of the commission. And this is just a copy of one of the surveys, the older ones, probably the 73 survey. And I just highlighted in yellow the area around what's surrounded by the yellow is the area that was prepared by Ike Bennett for Isaac Bennett, the original survey that started the project before zoning. That's the portion that appears to be hand drawn and has been on almost all the surveys since the first plot was reported or presented.
Back to your question, Mr. Wheatley, if the description is not in the lease, then how do you define your boundaries?
Well, that's one of the things I'm trying to figure out. I think clearly there's a group of folks who feel that they're
not getting what they're paying for or wouldn't be getting what they're paying for. I'm just trying to figure out what they're paying for. You know, did they, if it's a lot simply identified by a number and there's no warranty or guarantee as to what the boundaries are, that's one thing. If it's clearly described, that's another thing. Or I suspect it's halfway in between, you know, and there may be somebody here that knows, and we'll get to that in a minute. But that's where I was kind of headed with that question, because at the end of the day here, we're going to be saddled with trying to do, you know, what best serves the, you know, the public good. And that may or may not serve the individual good of certain folks, but I'm trying to figure out how people are being hurt and what we can do to minimize that, you know, what decision we're making, and if in fact. And sometimes people think they're being hurt when they're not really being hurt, and that's part of what I'm going through my mind.
Was there any minimum square footage required back then?
The lots that were created prior to zoning, there was no requirement. Not by the county, anyway.
What's the requirement now?
5,000 square feet would be the minimum requirement under current regulations.
And Mr. Lang, if I could, to follow up with what Mr. Wheatley said, there's no lots that are being eliminated by this. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. So is it safe to say we're trying to make a situation where there was an imperfect survey and get something that we can move forward with for all these tenants, you know, that defines what, and the park owners, I guess, too.
If you looked at the majority of the park, there was no meets and bounds description, there were just dimensions. The accuracy is questionable. If you look at the older portion, which again I referred to as hand-drawn, there's a straight edge U, but it wasn't even parallel lines. One of the difficulties I found in trying to review the plot is that the streets vary. The width varied from 15 foot of right-of-way to 20, 25 or more. So, I mean, they vary, they change.
So that would answer the question then. If there's not any dimensional data on any plot in the first place, there couldn't have been.
Well, the lots had dimensions, but it had no basic meets and bounds.
Yeah, right.
Simply pictorial.
I'm
not saying, though, that a person who leases a lot, you know, the question is, would they be entitled to rely on that information? You know, would they be able to rely on that information? Since, and that's a question. Have the total number of lots changed?
No.
Total number of lots been the same all the way through this?
No, it's been expanded. The project's been expanded on at least three occasions by three conditional uses.
But that was all expanded. Was additional land was added, or the same amount of land was divided into smaller pieces?
The first time we saw the plot was referencing the mixture of Mr. Isaac Bennett's survey and the survey that Mr. Todd expanded upon, which was the same drawing. He just took Mr. Bennett's drawing and added to it, going back towards Long Neck Creek. And he put lots here and there scattered around different places. So you're going to see lots on the first Todd drawing that's been expanded to the bottom of the sheet on Mr. Bennett's drawing, to the top and to the right, which is going back to Long Neck Creek.
Okay, my question is, in the original land that was contained in the lots, has the number of lots in that area changed? In other words, have things been gerrymandered so the lots got smaller and you got more lots in the same amount of space, or is it more lots were added on residual land?
No, more lots were added on residual land.
Okay, so the lines haven't been gerrymandered to create any additional lots?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think if anything, when I looked at some of the old surveys with Mr. Light, there may have been a few lots that are gone.
Well, there's lots that are renumbered. There's lesser lots in some sections because they would take three and make two.
Reduced.
I mean, I can show you by comparison, there's they don't have block numbers, so lots. Let me see. Maintain it real quick. Let me pull one.
And while he's looking at that, Mr. Chairman, I think what we're dealing with is, as we do with a lot of these older mobile home parks, the lot lines have migrated, you know, over time, you know, as people either moved in or expand it or whatever. And, you know, this predates zoning ordinance, or at least parts of it does. So what I've seen, what we're trying to do is to come up with a solution to an ongoing problem. And I certainly think the survey that I've seen is a far cry better than what was available to us before. And yes, there's a number of lots that were reduced in size, and I think that was due to their efforts to try and provide most of the housing with compliance, you know, with setbacks, et cetera, and just riding through the, you know, the park, you know, that you can see where the lot lines have kind of flowed with how the streets change. You know, they start out with stones, and as stones migrate, as people spin their tires or whatever, or use. So some of these lot lines, you know, especially the corner lots.
And I don't think, Mr. Lang, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but I don't think that it's the intent to have the survey create, you know, to go out and violate somebody because the survey line's drawn somewhere in relation to their home. It's to get a picture of the way it is now, grandfather everything in, and basically move forward from.
So
is that an accurate statement?
Basically, we're trying to get something that's accurate that people can go out in the field and check.
Yeah.
But we couldn't check it before. There wasn't even minor mutations. We found minor mutations that have been taken out. We found that some have been moved, not just this park, but a couple parks. And they've moved minor mutation, and there's no way for anybody to verify. This provides us with a copy of the monuments and what type of monument to look for. And you asked a question about lots, and I can... and. The lot area between lot 82 and 97, there were 13 lots on the revised drawing. There were 16 lots on the original. The next block there were 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, and now there's 11. And the next block there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. And there were 7 where 9 were originally intended. So they've had to expand lots, make them wider, adjust lines.
So is this approved? This survey is approved, and some people may be in violation of the setbacks.
Could be.
So they're going to be violated.
Not necessarily.
Are they going to be forced to go to
the grandfathering or what's existence? Then that anytime when they expand, they would bring into conformity what they proposed to build.
So they won't be forced to go to board adjustments and pay the fee.
In some cases, they will.
But that's only on
to expand.
If they want to expand, that's on new improvements.
So later on, if they want to put on an addition, then they got to meet the requirements or get a Board of Adjustment approval.
Okay.
But the intention is not to then use this to go back against anybody.
It's not the intent. The intent is trying to be able to work with what's there.
Right.
Yeah. To move forward, not to go back and give an inspector a full-time job just for this part.
At this point, does anyone have any questions for the surveyor? Doesn't mean this won't be the only chance to ask them, but do you want to speak to the surveyor now or not? Anybody at this point? Okay. This, I want to remind everybody here, this is not a public hearing. And I may live to regret this, but I'm going to give Mrs. Weil 5 minutes to come up here and tell us why this is wrong, okay? And if you would like to, please, you need to state your name and please take the floor, because I know that you have put an incredible amount of time and energy in this, and I want to give you the opportunity to speak your piece, but I need you to do it in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Pat Weil. I'm a tenant at Bay City, and I'm also the vice president of the Bay City Manufactured Homeowners Association. The reason that we oppose the survey as it stands is because it does exactly what Lawrence said. It brings homes into compliance with the 35% and also the setbacks. These are homes that have been placed on the lots by the landlords knowingly exceeding the code for the 35% rule and also the setbacks. As in the June packet that I gave you, there is information from the surveyor that shows 189 homes have increased their lot sizes, and there's approximately 240 lots in Bay City. The problem that we have with approving this is, sure, it takes the headaches away of the fact that people are in violations, but it also creates problems with people losing space on their lots. When we bought our home, as we walked around the park and looked at each location, the landlord did refer back to the survey that was approved in 1973, and she also gave us the lot dimensions as to how much space we had. In the older leases, the lot information is in the lease, so people do feel that they are losing things because they were told specifically the square footage or the information was in the lease. As I outlined here, the problem also that we have with the 35% rule is the fact that, as some of you know, may be aware, the stormwater runoff problems that we have. We have some homes that are 100% of the lots, either by the home, the shed, the outside shower, or pavers that are above the 6 inches required by the county code to have a permit. Mr. Lank also mentioned a moratorium that was set. There were 3 permits approved during that moratorium. Even though we were kicking and screaming the whole time saying, this person's going to file for a permit, don't approve it, there's a moratorium. So I guess our side of it is that, in the survey, I've met with 7 people over the last couple weeks that have lost enough space on their lots that they're now under 5,000 square feet. So the information on the survey is a little different if you get out and measure your lot, such as ours. We're on the increase lot on the 189, but we've lost footage. So to answer your question, yeah, we were told our lot dimensions when we walked around. Other people have the information in their lease. And as I said, I know it takes the headache away of manufactured housing being a pain in the butt. It's a sore that nobody likes to talk about. But where is it fair for us to lose space on our lot because the landlord knew what the code was, put a double wide on it, filed for a variance after the fact? You know, where is that fair? So that's why we're asking to... The survey needs work. If you approve it the way it is now, it just grandfathers all the mistakes that are out there. Sure, it takes away the headache for county council and in Sussex County, but we have to live with that.
You're living with it now, are you? And have been for years, I would suspect.
I'm losing more land. I have a single wide. We were told our measurements.
Right.
9 years ago, there was a double wide on the lot. We lost 2.5 feet by the landlord expanding our lot. Didn't know about it until we came down, and there was a bulkhead and stones. And he said, well, no, that's the way it is. Well, we had to put that double wide in. We've had some people go to the office and complain about the fact that their lots have lost land, and the landlord has told them, don't worry about it, when the survey is done, we'll just move the markers. So the whole reason for the survey is that what we were hoping with Chapter 70, all landlords have to have a survey, we were hoping to put the markers where the approved survey is. Don't go out and move boundaries. In fact, if you take a look at it, the landlord didn't have to move the boundaries where they are right now. If the landlord stuck to the survey that was done in 1973 and approved and put markers where things are, things would have been grandfathered. The headaches would have gone away, but people would not have lost the space. And that's the concern. 188, because mine is on the increase list and it's not, 188 people have lost space.
I guess I just have a question because I understand what you're saying, but the problem is looking at the 1973 survey, I don't see where there's enough information on there to go back and create the dimensions of the lots. In other words, I don't know that you could feasibly do that.
Well, the problem with this is they're calling it a survey. It's not a survey. It's a drawing. It's not a survey. And
unfortunately,
it's not your fault, it's not my fault, and it should have been, but it's not.
Unfortunately, if I place a double wide, that's the document that you're going to go by.
Well, see, I think that's what Mr. Lank was saying, we need to...
See, this is why I was getting to the question of meets and bounds appearing in your lease. Meets and bounds appeared in your lease. then somebody's got a serious problem on the lessor side, okay? Since there aren't meets and bounds, it suggests that the lot was leased on the basis of a drawing, not a survey, and I'm not sure what the legal standing of the drawing is.
Well, we were told square footage. That's what we were told when we bought our house. And
well,
unfortunately, that's what's being lost.
I mean, we're not in the business of dispensing legal advice, but common sense will tell you that if they reduced your square footage, which sure seemed to me you would have an actionable case against your landlord.
Second case.
At least a rent reduction or something. I don't know, but we really are trying to solve a problem here. I'm still trying to figure out who's being hurt by this, okay?
189 people are losing space.
Losing space. Okay, they're losing space. Are they using that space now and they have to vacate it?
Well, let's just use a scenario in my case.
Okay.
I have a single wide, and if I want to place a double wide, I have to go by the measurements that are now in this survey, which means my setbacks are going to be affected. The size of a double wide that I place on that home is going to be affected. So, you know, the same thing applies to other people. If they want to do a room added onto it, and they've lost space now. I mean, you look at it and you think, oh, okay, what's a foot and a half? Well, a foot and a half is a lot when you have to consider the setbacks.
Could you put a double wide on your lot now without a...
Not the size of double wide that I wanted to put on it, in addition to a porch and a shed.
Before you lost space, could you put a double wide on there?
Yes.
And now you're saying with this reduction, you won't be able to do that?
I'm saying my double wide, but my porch would be affected because it's going to affect the setbacks.
But backing up just to a basic question, and I want to make sure I understand that scenario just from how I understand this process works with the Board of Adjustment. If you applied, though, for that building permit, you'd have to come in with a survey of your lot, and we don't have a survey of the lot to start with, I think. Because we go back to 1973, which is basically a drawing with,
What we're asking is that the survey get delayed so we can have meetings with the landlord to go over the fact that you really didn't have to move the boundaries and talk about where the markers could be set to make people happy. I mean, let's use this scenario. If she didn't move my boundary and she just set the markers where they are right now or set it where the 73 was done,
right.
It doesn't hurt me and it doesn't hurt my neighbor. I don't lose land and my neighbor's now grandfathered. I'm just saying there's a greed factor here and that's what's upsetting.
Well, I'm trying to make sense of that.
Okay.
I don't see how can it be a greed motivation for the landlord. A lot's a lot. You know, whether it's 5,000 square feet or 5,100 square feet, where's the greed in that? It's two lots.
There's 189 people that have lost space on their lots, and those 189 people are not in 188 are not in compliance. The greed is the fact that the landlord did not meet the code. I realize the county doesn't have a lot of inspectors to be able to go out and check everybody else, but they have enough.
73. Yeah.
Well, they have an inspector to come out to my house on an anonymous phone call on the same day to investigate whether my shed is in compliance. So what we're absolutely pleading for is that put this on the back burner until 189 people can meet with the landlord and say, let's take a look at this.
You've
got one person.
Who applies for the building permits? Is that the individual tenants?
What happens, and that was a thing that I had mentioned in my letter, what happens is the landlord applies for the permit, places the double wide on the house. You've got a situation in the Board of Adjustments for lot 3, I believe it is.
But yeah, I know what you're saying in that situation, but in your situation, if you wanted to apply for a double wide, that would be you, though, right? Or would...
If I apply for a double wide, it's me
right.
that applies for the permit.
We're talking about 189 lots are affected by this, but that would be, I think, I'm trying to understand. So
189 people are not into compliance. You heard it from the surveyor.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
On an expansion?
No, 189, let's use 188 people are not into compliance. That's what the surveyor did, is went around the park and brought those lots into compliance either by the 35% rule or the setback rules.
Right.
Those rules were broken by the landlord when the landlord placed the double wides. The landlord did not pay attention to the 35% rule and the setback rules. So now, you know, we're being told that if I'm a person who bought the double wide from the landlord, I'm going to receive the violation because it's not into compliance. And we're finding out this week that that's not true. So what we're asking is, we want enough time for the 189 people that are not into compliance to meet with the landlord. For instance, I had a man at the Civic Association say to me, I'm one of those ones that are affected by the fact that my lot grew, but it's not my fault. And I don't support this survey because I'm going to piss off my neighbors. Sorry, language. I'm going to piss off my neighbors by taking their land. So that's what we're pleading for, is please give us time to sit down as a civic association with the landlord. And I know you don't. You're a little cranky today. So.
The question is that I feel better now. I got out of my system.
Okay.
My question is the landlord willing to meet with you? And if so, why in the world haven't you done it before now?
We were a little taken back when we received the information last month from the surveyor that 189 people, lots were increased.
Okay. So did nobody's gone to the owner and told him that?
We have tried to meet with the owner, but there's no response.
What I'm hearing, though, is if 189 lots were increased, to bring them into compliance, if we went back to a survey that was based somehow or another on this 1973 one, there'd be 189 lots that weren't in compliance.
They're not going to be in compliance, but you know what you're going to do by doing the survey? Like Lauren said, you're going to grandfather. Everything goes away. And I don't lose land. You're going to grandfather those mistakes. Why grandfather and take away lot from me? If you're going to look at a survey and say, okay, these are where the markers go.
How many lost land again?
189 increased, and we've got approximately 39 that lost. However, that's not, wait a minute. That's not a true documentation because I'm on the increase list and I lost.
Well, okay, we're going to get to that. Okay, we'll get to that. The surveyor is going to get his turn in the barrel here in a minute. But 188 people now have a larger lot, okay? Why are they upset? They just got a larger lot and grandfathered
in. No, they're not upset.
Who's upset?
The people that have lost land.
All right, well, let's not talk about the 188. Let's talk about the people that are upset.
Where do you think 188 came from? If 188 grew, where did it grow?
I understand. I'm saying that all we've heard about is about this 188 people who got more land, and I'm just confused why we're talking about them.
Because
let's talk about the guys who lost land.
Logistically, 188 grew. Where did they grow?
But let me ask a more basic question than that, because I'm still trying to get my head around what you're describing. What data did they use to come up with the determination that they lost land? Because looking at 1973...
Surveyor's information that he gave us for a presentation at the Civic Association meeting. And you guys received that package last month.
But that's a survey that somebody did at some point.
No, it's this survey, the new survey.
Okay, but what did they lose land from?
In other words, you have to have two numbers in order to determine
square footage.
You lost land. Right. Well, how was the square footage determined before?
And that you
take
had a
look.
Line somewhere that
how,
moved.
How
take
know?
A look at mine on lot number on page 2. We're going by square footage based on the surveys.
Okay, the question that's being asked is, what survey is the original computation based on?
1973.
That's based on this thing that is not actually a survey. Okay, all right, that's all I'm
trying to figure out. 1973 was 5,600. Now, based on the new resurvey, my lot is 5,449.
Right.
I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm over 5,000.
Okay.
Are you basing these numbers on, you're taking the 70 feet that's in the drawing and then timesing it by the other distance?
Yeah, because we were told when we bought our place it was square footage and it was 80 by 70.
Okay.
So that's on our walk around notes.
Well, see,
to make it right, what you would be saying is you walk off 70 and that's a line, and you walk off another 70 and that's a line.
They jumped back, yeah, sort of, but they dimensions changed. Lot next door to, I think, 76.
Here's what, I mean, there's...
Okay, yeah, I mean, you can see that some numbers...
Let me play devil's advocate to this group. If you approve, if you don't approve this survey and ask the landlord to go back and put the markers where the 1973 survey was, what's going to happen? Who's going to lose? If, let's say, this neighbor next door to me, the marker has to be moved 2 feet.
Wow. This is not a survey. It is a drawing. It's not a survey.
According to the surveyor, when that was drawn, it was a survey.
It's a survey. People get permits based on that.
And he's a licensed hour land surveyor.
It's a pretty lousy survey. I think that's the problem. What you're asking is to document something that is clearly suspect because of what it is. The problem is it was used. You relied on it. I understand that.
We were sold it.
And what where we're coming from, and I'm not suggesting that we're going to reach a conclusion different than the one you want. I'm just saying that you're getting into issues between you and the landlord don't really have much to do with us. If you rented 5,600 square feet and you've got 5,100 square feet, that's an issue between you and the landlord that I would think the landlord might be pretty concerned about because...
Okay, that would be my second lawsuit against the landlord.
Okay.
Because the lot next door exceeds 35%, mm-hmm. I have runoff in my lot that goes 3 to 4 feet. Mm-hmm. We did take the landlord to court, and we did win that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying...
Well, there you go. There's precedent right there. I don't imagine he's going to want to go again. He might just be willing to settle with you.
Yeah, but...
You know.
Just don't do it right now. Give us time.
So is your association have legal representation?
No.
And
we don't have the money for that unless we can...
But if you're that concerned, I would think if they all got together and...
We have contacted an attorney to find out what the process is if this gets approved today.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We're certainly mindful of your situation, or we wouldn't have taken what is probably one of the longest 5-minute periods on record, you know, to chat with you about
it. I appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate it, too, and we've read what you've sent in, and it is a concern to us. Well, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to take a seat. And I'm going to ask the surveyor to come up, and let's let him tell us his story.
All right, my name's Albert D. Bormas. I'm from Coast Survey. And whatever questions you have.
What not number are you?
One.
Right back to
it.
No, I don't want to get into it. Just give me
that. We're not going to let him come to blows, though.
Can I ask you just a fundamental question, sir, if I could? Can you recreate, could you go out there and literally recreate on the ground this Ike Bennett survey?
What do you mean by recreate?
Can you go plot it out and...
You go out there and plot this and put markers in.
Well, the best we could, yes.
No. Well, the best we could. And
the
why
plot
was this?
I'm coming from, it's a 64 plot.
Are you saying that what you did, that the commission's considering today, is to the best of your ability as a surveyor, a recreation?
Yes.
Okay. My question was, can you go out exactly and recreate this 1973?
No.
Why not?
Not enough information. You don't have meets and bounds. You don't have distances, and they don't add up.
What's the definition of a survey?
Meets and bounds.
Ta-da, it's not a survey. I don't care what the surveyor said, it's not a survey. It never was a survey, it's not
you
one.
You gotta have meets and bounds to recreate something. And in this case, the 64 plot only has distances. And some of them have distances on that.
There's a couple lots in there that have a lot number just floating in the rear yard. There's no line there to see how much it is.
And what we did is we went and we took existing fences. There's a lot of existing, I would call them bulkheads, but the walls, wood walls going down the lot lines. We used that, edge of driveways. Basically what we did. What people were using is what we created.
Right.
Now, some of them had to be moved, keep the houses from, try to make all the homes with the 5-foot setbacks.
Right.
There's some on that don't make it.
Right.
To change it, you have to really cut somebody.
Right.
Hold that down.
Now, how many people lost land out of this? 738.
Square footage wise.
Yeah.
You only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And how come Mrs. Wild's calculations say that she lost land and yours say that she gained land?
Well, when she was saying that 189, she kept referring to that 189.
No, she kept saying 189 lots.
Oh, well, I thought she was saying she was 189.
No, she was not referring to a lot.
Number. Okay. That 189 gained 10 feet. That's why I was confused.
Okay.
But you got 36.
That lost land.
Lost nine, and some of them lost nine, 20 feet, 20 square feet, 40 square feet. I mean.
What, Mrs. Wild, what is your lot number? What do you have on there for lot 20?
You said you gained.
You said you did say you gained. I thought you were saying you lost.
No, I lost.
Oh,
I'm on the increased list of the surveyor provided to us.
Yeah.
But I lost.
Why? How do you, I mean, what?
The surveyor we measured.
Yes. You lost 151 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
151 square feet you lost.
Yeah. That's what she said.
We're 5,600, we're down 5,449. However, that doesn't matter.
She said it's wrong.
Well, who put the stakes in? And are they on the corners or is there an offset?
There, I have a stake on every corner.
No, some nines offsets because we couldn't get the corner in, but most nine are corners.
Well,
I was a 99% of corners.
Well, then how do you account for her coming up with a different, what you've got?
Yeah, what's
I know no way she's coming up with the 56.
Her lot was 70 by 80.
Her lot was
70 by 80, not square.
That's what I was wondering. It's not parallel.
It's not a square lot, so you don't get the 56.
I understand, but
what?
I'm just trying to get to where she was coming from.
I don't know.
But
so you're saying on the 1973 survey, it was like a
yes.
trapezoid or whatever.
Trapezoid,
so, it wasn't
so you don't. You don't get 70 by 80 true square footage.
No, you don't. That's correct. You don't.
She
That's
gets.
Right.
She gets. I cocked it out at 5,400 square feet.
Okay. I think.
That's true.
Yeah, 70 by 80 trapezoid would be different than a
yes.
70 by 80 square. That's what he's telling you. It has to do with the geometry of your lot, which it's interesting. In your lease, is a lot set? Does it say 5,600 square feet or does it say 70 by 80? I think they probably weren't aware of the calculation being inappropriate for a trapezoid. She wasn't up on her geometry, maybe. I don't know. Okay. Yes.
Typically, don't we ask fellows credentials?
Well, this is not a public hearing, but we'll, for the record, if you are you are a licensed surveyor.
No, I'm not.
You're not.
I work for Coast Survey.
Okay.
I'm the one that did this.
Okay.
I did. We did all the lots and dropped out and set every corner.
Okay.
Well, let me ask a follow-up question then. Is the survey we have, is it sealed by a Delaware
yes.
licensed surveyor
yes.
who reviewed all your work?
Yes.
And signed up. Okay.
Yes.
Somebody had a 70 by 80 lot, do they still have a 70 by 80 lot?
In some cases, no.
Those dimensions weren't there?
Yeah. In some cases, if you push the lot, you're in the road. I mean, we're in the road on some of these lot corners already, about 2 feet, 3 feet.
It just seems to me that the tenants don't have anything to argue about until there's a benchmark, and that's what we're talking about establishing here. Once a benchmark is established, then you can fight about it, you know. But, you know.
Well, using Pat's lot for an example, her original lot just showed 70 by 80. It wasn't real clear whether square or trapezoid or whatever. Your revised survey shows her frontage to still be 70.
Yeah.
But it's 74 across the rear, and it's only 77 plus feet deep on either side.
Yeah.
So so it's less than the 80 originally planned. Why was that? Distance between the two streets to get it balanced?
Get it balanced. All that was existing evidence of what she was using.
You know, it's interesting because if you go back to the original survey, and it is shown as 70 by 80, and it is in a trapezoidal shape, that does not help you any. This is wild. That doesn't help you a bit. In fact, all they're going to say is, well, we messed up. We did the math wrong. You know, that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, you got what you paid for, because here it is on the survey that you wanted us to go by.
You know?
What color ribbons on the stakes?
Was there a ribbon? There was a ribbon on the stake?
Yes.
What color was it? Do you remember? Do I remember? Okay.
If the stakes up, proper corn should be blue and white ribbon. If it's any other color, then it's just a reference point we use to get to the back of the line.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Mr.
Robertson, If we approve this survey today, is there anything that would prevent it from being challenged and changed later?
Well, I'm not going to give advice about where they could challenge, but certainly, I mean, there's got to be avenues that they could seek to challenge it.
And because, see, that's the whole thing. I think until you have something to fight about, something decent to fight about, you don't have much. In an odd sort of way, you might be doing them a favor to at least establish a benchmark, and then they've got some place to go. Because if you try to use this thing is so full of holes, and if you end up in front of a third-party trier of fact with this, I would suggest you have a lot of problems. At least with something new, you've got something you can fight about.
Well, that goes back to what I think I asked Mr. Link about, is that that's a fundamental problem moving forward, even if you wanted to, you know, and we talked a lot, I think, about, you know, replacing a single wide with a double wide, but you also get in that issue if you have a tenant that wants to come in and do an expansion. There's no survey or anything else to base that on for a building permit. You need some baseline to move forward.
Which also speaks to the issue is if you bought the unit from the park, was there really an implied right to be able to put a double wide on there? Yeah, I mean, that would be the question. Playing the devil's advocate, I think I would say, well, nobody said you could get a double wide on there. You wanted a single wide, it's the one you got. It's when we sold you, it's on the lot. There it is.
I think what Mrs. Wild is saying is that a lot of those cases, it was the park owner that put this double wide on it and then sold it to somebody else. I don't know. But I look at it more for the people that are there. Well, as much for the people that are there and want to do something on their lot, they don't have a survey that they can go from. Also, you know,
right. And
I have a question. I'm sorry.
But
because survey, how did those 188 people get double wides on there in the last 10 years?
Well, that's what we're trying to do.
We're trying to figure out. We're trying to
move forward with the survey.
The situation was is apparently everybody was using this, relying on the fact that it was prepared by a surveyor. And it really wasn't scrutinized beyond that. Maybe I guess is what certainly is what happened. This is wild. You're the only person here asking for that out of 200 and some people. You know, and I just don't understand how waiting is going to change anything. I understand. Okay. Point taken. Point taken. Sure. Come on up. Why not? It's
the democratic process, Mr. Johnson. I know you're...
I appreciate that.
I have nothing, no comment other than that. It's not a public hearing, Mr. Chairman.
It's not a public hearing, but it's a public meeting where we can ask people to speak if we want them to speak, so...
Correct. That you always extend that courtesy to the commission. Thank you.
That's right.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Your name is?
My name is Dan Nguyen. I own a private fee simple piece of property that's surrounded by Bay City.
You got a deed?
I do.
Got meets and bounds in it?
Do, and I have absolute permanent stakes right in the ground. I know exactly where my property is.
Problem then. You don't have a problem.
I do.
With who? Not with us?
I'm going to try and explain it to you why I don't think this survey should be approved. But I did want to give you just a tad. I'm glad to see Mr. Burns laughing here. All right, there's three people that actually own private property within Bay City. All right, what started this problem? Right, just to amplify Ms. Weil was going through.
Right,
what the landlord has methodically done over the last 10 years, right, and this is documented in Mr. Lang's files. Right, he has taken lots that were designed for single wide trailers,
right,
5,000 square foot, and he placed on them double-wide trailers with additions, patios, and porches, all right? On the permits,
okay,
the placement permits. No, wait, just I'm going to wrap this up
real quick. Right here, I'm going to tell you one thing. When you get done, I really hope that this hurts you in some way, that you're some way affected, okay, because that's what I asked you. How is this hurting you? How is this hurting you?
When he put these double-wides on these lots,
yes,
right, and overbuilt,
All right.
He mounted the dirt 3 feet above street level.
Okay.
These lots were dead level, which allowed any kind of... There's two types of stormwater management. We have rainstorms and we have floods. Okay, this is a very low-lying area, right? By mounding those lots, right, what he has done is he has pushed the water onto all the lower level adjoining lots. So what this survey does not show, right, is which lots are high and which lots are low.
Right.
All right? My lot used to be the highest lot on the street. It is now the lowest lot on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Lot one, right alongside me, right, has a violation written against it because it was overbuilt, mounded 3 feet high, right? I now have to run a sump pump under my house, right, every time it rains or we get a flood to keep the underneath of my house pumped out, right? I'm not the only one, right? There's of the lots in the older section, what's caused this, right, is that in addition to mounding, when you oversize these lots, right, by putting a double wide and an addition on instead of a single wide, all the water is being directed, the storm water is being directed out into the street.
Right.
So now when you have either high tides and or you have heavy rains, all right, the streets are flooded, the low level lots are flooded, all right, all the high people, water is being pushed there. So where you normally would have had a 10 by 50 trailer or 12 by 50, whatever it is, you now have double wide, all right. In addition, the code calls for a 50-foot buffer around any private piece of property. What I put in a long epistle that we took a long time to prepare and asked the commission to read last time was that many of the drainage problems could be resolved in this park, right, on the east side, which is Wingate Creek. There should be a buffer on the one piece of property for Richie, on mine, and theirs, because it absolutely happens to be the lowest spots in those streets, and that property drains west to east.
Right.
So the damage is I'm getting flooded. I have some pictures, if you'd be glad to take a look at them, of my driveway being wiped out every time there's a rainstorm. But what I'm asking the commission to consider is that this is not a good survey. That he adjusts lines here or there, I don't really care. That doesn't make any real difference to me. What I'm concerned about is my property meets and bounds line is incorrect on the survey based on the master deed from Joshua Hitchens, Bay City, to the guy I bought it off of. Right, the surveyor can't even get the meets and bounds line straight on a fee simple property that's surrounding. I'm asking that the buffers be put in so that we accomplish the drainage that's necessary to stop flooding everybody.
Okay, I appreciate what you're saying. Clearly, you have an issue. The problem is it doesn't speak to the issue of meets and bounds on the survey and the Bay City survey. It speaks to a drainage issue caused by actions taken by those people. I agree with all that, but it's not something we can fix with this survey. You know, it's not something we can fix with a survey, okay? And the subject we have right to deal with right now is the survey. We're trying to get the survey issue straightened out.
With all due respect, I just finished telling you, on the survey, he has the meets and bounds for our property. It is incorrect. the meets and bounds. I'm not talking about a sketch. I'm talking about the meets and bounds for my property right in lot one. It's incorrect.
Okay.
Okay, so certainly we should have the survey corrected.
I'm going to find out about that. I'm going to have surveyors still here, and we're going to...
Yeah, but that would be also, that's a property line dispute. I don't know that...
No. You can't approve a survey that has an incorrect line.
How do we, I hear you, but how do we know? Do you have a survey that says that...
Do you have a survey that contradicts what's on this?
I'm just asking that
question. I actually have the copy of the deed in my car, if you want to go get it.
No, but I mean, just saying...
It tells you the meets and bounds.
But
he's right. Meets and bounds is what you go by.
But there's always, I mean, when was your deed done, for example?
Mine was done in 1972.
Okay. So it was done to 1972 standards, which is similar probably to Ike Bennett's. I mean, there's meets and bounds on here. Unless...
Well, there aren't meets and bounds.
There's a few on here.
Oh,
I don't know. Meets
and bounds do not change. It doesn't make any difference what year it is, okay? My deed gives me a meets and bounds that comes from east to west, right? They can't have theirs and change it.
The bearings do change.
Yeah.
They change. They're magnetic. They do change on occasion. It's very minimal, but they do change.
Yeah, it's minuscule.
Well, we're talking 6 degrees, Lawrence.
There are two surveyors, and they're going to come out and give you two different answers.
Right.
We're going to go, I can tell you right now, by exactly what's in the deed description from Joshua Hitchin, who owned Bay City, to Andy Burke, from Andy Burke to me. That's what's in that deed. That's the only legal document that really pertains to this.
And then Coast Survey can take that and recalculate it to current magnetic meets and bounds description.
What I'm telling you is that the current meets and bounds, this is like a ridiculous conversation. If it's 78 degrees, which is what it is, right? And he reduces it to 72 degrees, which changes the dimensions of all the lots that he has right down from there. There was a lot of things that are wrong with the survey. I've spent a great deal of time with a lot of other people that are in that park to go through this. I'd ask you, gentlemen, if the letter of June 11th, we spent a great deal of time to give you every specific detail of the damage that was done to a lot of people. I'd ask you to review that and hold off on approving this survey.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm kind of confused. Are they asking that they have a new survey done of all this property and that then that should be subject to their personal review or what are, I'm not sure what they're asking.
Come on up here. We let one, we got to let them all. I told you I'd regret this. you will find that I'm
My
a
name
great
is Paul
champion
Lee.
Of the...
I'm one of the guy that take care of the park, one of the family of the owner. And I could tell you one thing, what Mr. Wayne just said, you could go with it today and look at his lot, and you see the storm drain on beside of his lot. You can see the road been approximately 16, 18 inches lower than his lot. You can see the neighbor's lot that we did, it's lower than his lot overall.
I don't want to go down that road.
I'm saying what's to say the right thing.
Understand.
I'm not trying to tell you something that it's not there. I said to go see it.
I understand. I appreciate that.
I
want to tell you something, but make
another
both
thing.
Mad. I don't care. I don't care if it's 10 feet difference. That's not the subject of what we're doing here today. So if you would take a seat, please. You know, it's just not a factor for us today. Okay. We're not here to talk about elevations. We're here to talk about meets and bounds. It doesn't matter to me if it's 20 feet. So, okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have to agree with the folks that testified that, you know, this, you know, it's very emotional for everybody and it has been for some time, but I think it's time to try and put this thing to rest so that the county can move ahead, so that the park residents can move ahead, and so that the park owners can hopefully in the future be in compliance with the ordinances. And I think given, you know, which we've been looking at dated 1973, which certainly doesn't pass my judgment for a survey either, although maybe it was stamped and accepted back then. But I can tell you, sir, that through my extensive involvement with this since the beginning, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Well, Mr. Johnson, that is your right to do so. So be my guest.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the delineation of lot lines for Bay City Mobile Home Park dated March 30, 2009. And although there have been various surveys over the years, they were not detailed enough to allow the county, the park, or tenants to show compliance with county ordinances for improvements. This delineation shows the location of all the lot lines in the park and will allow the park and its tenants to move forward with improvements in compliance with county ordinances or with the Board of Adjustment approval. With the new delineations and the aerial photographs, the county can determine what currently exists in the park. Any existing structures as of the commission's approval of this delineation, if it's approved, shall be grandfathered except for lots number 1 through 4 in the old section, which shall be returned to a depth of 80 feet. As on the survey, it showed 85 feet. And I would like to have the monuments, as we previously have addressed by the commission, be shown. And I think that upon receipt of the commission's approval, the delineation, the county administrator will consider conditions for approvals of replacements or improvements of structures. And finally, I like the final version of the plan showing the revised lot lines for lots number 1 through 4 of the old section shall be subject to approval of the staff upon receipt.
Question.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson mentioned about monuments being shown. Are you saying the monuments on the premises or on the...
Well, there's 4 lots, lots 1 through 4, and those were subject to a previous meeting before the planning and zoning where there was concern about the encroachment on the wetlands and the fact that there were not wetland delineations that were adequately described for us to see that, and therefore I didn't see a need to expand those lots any further.
Thank you.
And I might mention that those lots that are that were approved or shown as 80 feet before and shown on the recent one at 85 feet were, to me, in error. And actually, the 1970, whatever we want to call this drawing, actually showed those lot lines for those at 70 feet, so I think we're being more than generous.
Okay. Is that your motion, sir?
That previously was my motion before my discussion with Mr. Smith.
Okay, is there a second? Okay. All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any more discussion at this point? There being none, we'll call for question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay. Gentlemen,